Every day brings us closer to that day that Jesus' Apostle John saw in vision in the book of Revelation. What did he see? This is what he says. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. That's the same day Jesus talked about when he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. So this is the final judgment. The books will be opened, and there will be no mistakes. It will be a just judgment. No one will be able to say it is unfair or rigged in any way. But sometimes God does not wait until that final judgment. Already now, before that day, he sometimes sends preliminary judgments on his people. There are many examples of such preliminary judgments in Scripture. We think of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham and Lot, and there have been many others. Now, when such terrible things happen in our lives, we could say, I suppose, every time it's because we have sinned, and that is true. But we have to be careful that when tragedies occur, we do not specify in every case exactly what the cause of that tragedy was. Otherwise, we might be making the mistake of Job's friends, who, when he suffered such a great disaster, they said that he must be guilty of some great sin for which God was sending him this judgment. Well, in his case, that was not true. And so we have to be careful when tragedies occur that we do not blame the person that was affected by this tragedy and say it was his fault. Sometimes it may be, sometimes maybe not. But when the Bible specifically says that some judgment has come because of a certain sin, then we can make such a judgment. And that's what we have here in the second book of Chronicles in the case of King Joash. We've already heard that he was an excellent king as long as the high priest Jehoiada was alive. But after Jehoiada died, then Joash listened to his other advisors, and they led him into ungodly ways. And worst of all, when Jehoiada's son Zechariah, a prophet of God, brought those sins to Joash's attention, he had the prophet Zechariah stoned to death. But not before Zechariah said, "The Lord look on it and repay." And that is exactly what happened in the very next year. One of these preliminary judgments from God came as a result of their sin. We read, "So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers." So God himself here reveals why the large army of Joash was defeated by the smaller force from the Syrians. And they took back to Damascus the treasures of the rich leaders of the people, took them back to Damascus as spoils of victory. The reason? Very clearly stated, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Now the Syrians were not even believers in the Lord. They had no assurance of God's protection when they went out to war. But they were the winners, because the people of Judah had forsaken the Lord God. And so God used the Syrians to bring judgment on his people. As we read, they executed judgment against Judah, and when they had withdrawn from him, they executed judgment against Joash, and when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. So that's the end of King Joash, who began so well, but ended up in opposition to the Lord God. A preliminary judgment fell on him, so that all the people could say and understand that God was in control. He does not let sin go unpunished. He sends his judgment. Of course, if he doesn't do it in this life, then he will do it on that great judgment day that will follow. Now, what about us? Have we forsaken the Lord God of our fathers? Well, when we think of our country, our nation, the United States of America, that was once predominantly Christian, I think we'd have to say that, judgment could be around the corner, or if it is not already here. Murder, adultery, greed, cheating, lying, common in our country, certainly. Have we forsaken the Lord God of our fathers? Or, if we think in terms of the Christian church, excluding the unbelievers in our country, how have those who call themselves Christians treated the Lord God? How have they followed his word? And of course, we are among all of these people who profess faith in Christ. Could God be sending a judgment on his church because of what we have done? Well, it's very probable that that is the case. And of course, each one of us, as individuals, we'd have to admit, would we not, that we have not always been faithful to the Lord God of our fathers, and he would have perfect right to send judgment now in this life, and even the perfect right to condemn us on that great judgment day. But now, we go back to the book of Revelation. The books were opened, but I did not read one part of that account that gives us hope. And that is, when all these books were opened that reveal all the thoughts, words, and deeds of everyone on earth, John also saw another book being opened. And that book was the book of life. And he says, everyone whose name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the book of life gives us hope. And we know what that book of life is, do we not? That is Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. So in the midst of judgment, let us cling to that life that is in Jesus Christ. Let us sing hymn 605, stanzas 1 and 5.
So